You're listening to The Main Event on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Jake, Cody, and Jose.
John Michaels in for Jake and Cody. Make sure you prepare for road trips. Before your travel begins, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. We're talking NFL football. Big question up on Twitter, and we head right now on the Progressive Insurance guest line. Kyle Brady, you know him. He played for the Jets, the Jaguars, the Patriots. He's our guest on the program. Kyle, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. How about y'all? You doing all right?
Doing fantastic. Big Thursday night game. We were talking about this a little bit earlier on with the Jaguars and the Titans. I don't expect a lot of offense in this, but these two teams love to get after it defensively. What's your first thoughts when you look at the matchup between these two teams?
Well, you know, I've been following the Jaguars a little more closely than the Titans this year. I was a little surprised to see the Titans drop one to the Colts, but you know, with the Jaguars, they're kind of a, you know, if there's ever a must win this early in the season, you know, this probably is one if they want to maintain it. Because, you know, we all know what the percentages say and the statistics say about if you get down 0-3, you're very likely you're not going to make the playoffs. So it's a miserable feeling to go into the locker room in October and know that you're not playing for much other than, you know, just making sure you keep good film out there and that kind of thing. But that's a situation they very well could end up in here pretty soon. But I think you're right. I think it's going to not be a very explosive game in regards to if you love offensive output. But tough defenses, you know, a lot of good talent. I know on this squad, the Jacksonville squad defensively, but I think they're already feeling a sense of frustration over the way the last couple weeks have gone. And, hey, you can win with defense, though, with great defense. Look at the Baltimore Ravens, you know, years ago. They won pretty much with defense a bunch of weeks. Their offense didn't even score points.
Jacksonville's dealing with a couple of issues. I'll start with one. Obviously, Nick Foles was brought in to be the starting quarterback. He goes out week one, done for the year. I think Gardner Minshew's played pretty well. But as a player, somebody that's been in the locker room before, how do you feel when you see one of your star players go out? How tough is it to rally around somebody that you may not know, like a Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, it certainly is discouraging. You know, a guy that was brought in to essentially revive your offense and help them get to kind of the next level, you know, a Super Bowl MVP caliber player, you know, which is what he actually was when they won the Super Bowl, and a guy with experience, all that type of thing, and just certainly had to be discouraging for every guy in that locker room when he went down and they realized they were going to be without him for quite some time. You know, this Minshew seems like a kind of a charismatic guy. You know, he's alleged with some of his clothing, and he seems confident. You know, when he's out there, it doesn't seem like the stage is too big for him. He's got some mobility, which is nice to see, and he's unfortunately he kind of needed to use that mobility. It's not unusual, though, for teams to really bring a lot of pressure on a rookie, and you'd expect that, and that's what the teams that we've played, that the Jaguars have played so far, have been doing that. But, yeah, he's actually performed quite well under the circumstances, you know, being thrown in there with probably very few reps in practice with the starters up until the time that, you know, Foles got hurt. And he's done well, all things considered. But the guys, I mean, and I'm sure they're responding well to the fact that he's playing as if he's got more experience than he does.
Gardner Minshew, the report was offered a endorsement deal today by one of those adult entertainment companies. What's the craziest endorsement opportunity that you ever had, Kyle?
Man, that's a tough one. It's been a while now since, but I did play in New York, so you get some interesting ones here and there. I did an MCI commercial, actually, which MCI is not even around anymore. I did it with a couple of other players. You know, it was kind of in the Brady Bunch theme. You know, I do remember that one pretty well. But nothing too off. Definitely nothing that off the wall or that edgy from an adult. You know, what was it again? An adult what?
One of the adult entertainment. I'm being the most politically correct way I could say it. An adult entertainment company.
Yeah. It's probably because of his look. You know, he's got the stash that looks a little bit classic like that. You know, but shoot, man. No, I didn't have anything like that come my way.
Now, playing in New York, what was that like? I mean, I've been up there, and I traveled with the Atlanta Falcons for years. I did radio with them. Our media is pretty friendly here in the South. What's it like dealing with that media on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, well, it can be absolutely brutal when you're losing, but it can be great when you're winning. I mean, they absolutely embrace and love a winner, and it was kind of the tale of two of a two different careers for me almost. My first 2 years, we were struggling mightily as a team. We won in the first 32 games I played in the NFL, we won 4 games. We lost 28, you know, so we were doing horribly. And we were the butt of all the jokes. You know, David Letterman would probably nightly in his stand-up routine to start his show would say something bad about the Jets. But honestly, well-deserved. I mean, we weren't winning, and we were losing in bad fashion oftentimes and, you know, finding ways to lose. And so, and then Bill Parcells came in my third year, and that kind of resurrected our team and certainly my career. I mean, I was being labeled a first-round bust and things of that nature, and then suddenly things started to change really even dramatically for me. You know, he found that I could do some things in his offense that he liked, and Charlie Weiss was the offensive coordinator. He really liked me. He was using me in some very unique ways as an H-back and a tight end. So then it got to be a lot of fun, actually. When you win in New York and you're doing well, you know, first year we were 9-7, which was from 1-15, was the biggest one-year turnaround in the history of the NFL up until that point. The very next season, 1998, we went to the AFC Championship game and nearly beat the Broncos at their place. And when they had, you know, Elway and Terrell Davis and Rod Smith, all those guys, McCaffrey. So my last couple of years there were a lot of fun, and the media was just loving us and, you know, loving on us. But, you know, you always remembered in the back of your mind what they really thought, you know, which is what you heard those first 2 years. So you didn't take it too seriously. Try to take it all with a grain of salt.
We'll get back to the Jacksonville conversation here in a minute. It's Kyle Brady, our guest, on the Progressive Insurance guest line. It's funny you say that. This past Super Bowl here in Atlanta on Radio Row, Austin Hooper, the young tight end for the Falcons, called out myself and my co-host because we had gone pretty hard on him. And it's the first time I was really amazed that players heard and really, not necessarily listened to us, but heard what we had to say and took it personal. Do you remember a time where you took it personal with somebody in the media?
Well, yeah, I mean, when people are, I think most players do, and maybe they just don't try to let on to it, you know, or act like it doesn't bother them, you know, try to wear that poker face and act like you're tough and, you know, it's no big deal. But, you know, if it's something that you take seriously and you're really treating it like it's your profession and you go in there every day and you're really busting your tail to be the best you possibly can, and you're more frustrated than anybody that it's not going well, let's say your team's not winning and maybe if you're not performing up to even your own expectations or hopes, it's terribly frustrating. So when people ridicule that or make it, maybe make some type of comments to make it seem as if you don't care or that you're not giving kind of effort you should, it's hard not to take it personal, you know. So I heard those things, and I remembered which guys were the ones that, you know, I felt maybe took it too far with some of their commentary, you know, or did seem to make it personal, even with the way they wrote articles and things like that. And I became very conscientious though in how I talked to the media, you know, and wouldn't try to give them any fodder or bait or anything, you know, negative and that type of thing. And I was amazed at the skill of the New York writers though at taking whatever comment you had and couching it in an article to make it seem as if you might have tried to throw a coach or another player under the bus. They were good at that kind of thing. So, you know, you kept all those things in mind and you kind of storm in the memory bank and you keep in mind for later down the line when maybe you're in a more friendly media atmosphere or in a winning season that, you know, it does affect your sense of trust in some of the people that you were surrounded by.
Kyle, one of the big stories coming out of Jacksonville, obviously, is what's going on with Jalen Ramsey. If you're the ownership group and the general manager or the head coach there, do you trade him? Do you take his wish and send him somewhere else?
I would have. Yeah, I mean, the coaches I played for in the NFL, well, even in college with Joe Paterno and then the NFL was Tom Coughlin, Bill Belichick, and Bill Parcells. If a player came off the field, and even if he wasn't in a bit of emotional huff over something that had just occurred on the field, and he made physical contact with the coach in an aggressive type manner, you know, and was sort of, you know, blowing up at the coach about, you know, how he thought he should have made some call differently. I mean, those coaches, in my opinion, that would be it. You're gone. I mean, you're probably suspended until they figure out what to do with you, and then you're probably gone. So, you know, I'm a bit surprised that it was as downplayed as it was by the coaching staff here. And at the same time, I mean, I feel quite certain that if a player came off the sideline on a Bill Belichick coach team like the Patriots and had that type of outburst and made physical contact with Coach Belichick, he wouldn't even go to the locker room. He wouldn't even be back in the locker room again.
Kyle, we got a Twitter question up, and I wanted to get to you with this. I'm talking about the quarterbacks in the NFL that are out. Roethlisberger, Andrew Luck, Drew Brees, and it looks like Cam Newton going to be out at least this week. Which one of those teams loses the most by losing their quarterback?
Between the Steelers, the Panthers, or I'm sorry, who's the other one you said?
The Saints and the Colts.
I have to say at this point right now, the Saints, I mean, Drew Brees is still playing at such a high level. I mean, he's a shoe-in Hall of Famer. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger maybe as well, with, you know, having won two Super Bowls and playing for a franchise as storied as the Steelers. But I think Drew Brees, as sharp as he is and is still competing, I think at the top of his game, seem to, in my estimation, they lose the most.
Kyle, real quick, we got like 15 seconds as a kind of quick answer for you. 1994 Penn State, 1994 Nebraska, 1994 Miami. Do you beat all of them?
Oh, of course. In my opinion, we will. And I had that conversation with a number of Nebraska players I got to know through the years in the NFL that were on that 94 team. But shame we didn't have a BCS, and certainly a CFP would have been a whole lot of fun to try with those teams as well.
Would have been great. Thank you for coming on. Really appreciate it.
All right. Y'all have a good one. Take care.
You too. That's Kyle Brady, our guest. We come back. How much has the NFL changed in 2 weeks? We'll get into that. Make sure you follow us at SB Nation Radio, at John Michaels U. I'm in for Jake and Cody on the Main Event on SB Nation Radio.